Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Power to Be You and Rise to Win for our youth listeners. My name is Sandra, and I am your host for this show, and I come to you live from West Palm Beach, Florida, the heartland of change for our youth. And with me today, I intend to present to you a very special lady whom I have had the pleasure of meeting just very recently, a few days ago, and whom with I've been able to connect because we are precisely in the same path of empowering youth with awareness, with skills, and with education that they do not currently have under the traditional educational system. And I do not have her on the line as of yet, but what I'd like to do is give you a background as to what she is doing, and hopefully she will be able to join us. If not, then I will just get back on the line and continue with what's basically taking place right now with the movement and how close we are now to the official launch date. Well, my guest is Shanika Proctor, and she is an author, a speaker, an award-winning blogger, an experiential teen entrepreneur coach, and she is based in Washington, D.C. Since 2005, Shanika has been encouraging teens across the globe to manifest their raw talents and pursue their wildest dreams in both their personal and professional endeavors. Her teens run a variety of niche businesses, and under her leadership have written and published books, they have launched into the public speaking circuit, and they have developed branded curriculum and certification courses. She is the author of the book, Teen Entrepreneur Success Secrets, The Essential Guide to Starting and Growing a Business. And she is also the creator of a teen CEO home study course entitled Teen CEO Blueprint, 7 Steps to Identify and Leverage Your True Potential. Now you can go into the web and click on www.renegadeceos.com. That would be RENEGADE CEOs.com. And you can look at the type of work and the youth that Shanika has been working with. And I will tell you that truly it is powerful, because Shanika's ability to take concepts that are presented in the business world, in corporate world, and break it down so that youth can understand it and use it and apply it, that is something that truly will make the change. And as you will be able to see through her website, the youth with whom she has been working with, these youth have actually taken the insight and they have been empowered to believe in their dreams and to start creating their own businesses within the niche markets that they are gifted to uncover, discover, pursue, or manifest even. So I hope that Shanika is able to join us. But nonetheless, like I said, once she joins us, then I will just patch her in. And what I'd like to continue on saying is that along with Shanika, my network of individuals who are making a definite stride in empowering youth is growing. And the great news is that June 27th, the Rise to Win for Our Youth movement will be having its official launch in front of 500 at-risk youth. Now, this is a feat on its own because I am not depending on a grant to make this happen. I am not depending on a loan. I am going out in faith in making this happen by the work that I am presently doing, by speaking to people, by connecting with people, by working with entrepreneurs, and by putting it out there, knowing that this will take place and knowing that I am not going to allow neither finances nor any type of politics get in the way of exposing this to our youth and really stepping up for change. Because at this point in time, with where we are in our lives and where we are in society, we must empower our youth, and the adults who are there are either in the way or they are those who can make change possible. And so this truly is about making a step up by becoming aware and by empowering through the change that we must make, the responsibility that we need to take. And for those of us who are there to make a difference, it is time that we come together and make things happen. people will always fall on the complacency, and people will always say, well, we don't have the money, or well, we don't have the transportation, or well, the zip code under which this grant was given cannot be used for that person or that those groups of kids that are there who really, really need the education and the safety net to be placed underneath them. So in being a visionary, in being the change that I want to see, I will need to make this happen no matter where it's at, even if it's at a park. So what you know, you guys can do is, if those of you who'd like to sponsor, those of you who'd like to join me, those of you who'd like to volunteer, those of you who want to take this on forward, I urge you to get in contact with me, call me, or email me. The best email is liveandlearnllc@gmail.com. And, of course, my website is rise, R-I-S-E, the number 2, W-I-N.com. Also, if you are in our area, or if you are someone who truly is in a mission to make a difference with what you bring, if you have a book that you have written, or you're interested in writing a book, or you are interested in selling in volumes, June 6th, I have a fundraising masterclass, which is in partnership with an individual who has sold over 5 million books and has worked with many nonprofits, with about 16 or 17 different national nonprofits. And he has raised millions of dollars on their behalf. So he will be doing a one-day live training. His training is goes for $3,000, and he is providing this for $300 to include the course itself. So this is a take-home course that normally sells close to $200. That is his pricing on this, because he wants to make this accessible to everyone. So this really is about people taking it on. So leaders are created in a time of challenge and change. And I urge you, if you consider yourself a leader, to take a step up and make it happen. And in the process, not only will you be empowering yourself, but you will also be helping the Rise to Win for Our Youth movement, which needs to take place no matter what. So I urge you to come and get involved, get engaged, and definitely create the network and the solutions that you see. But we definitely have to step out in stride, and step out in hope, and step out in faith, believing that we are serving, and believing that we really stand for what we believe in. And obviously, this is my call, and this is what I say about what I am doing, and I will not back off from it, because it's about making a difference in the lives of youth, and we must save our youth. And for every day that we stay away, we are not supporting them. So, you know, I urge you to get back and get in contact. So this is what's going on. June 27th is the actual launch, and then I am also launching my newsletter today, and this is called The Rise to Win Dynamite. So through this newsletter, I will be featuring the options, the solutions, the resources, and the contacts with different people, branding individuals, people who really are stepping up to make a difference. And I will definitely say, it's not about politics. It's about looking at who we are as human beings, and looking at the need that others have, and looking at the gifts that we have. So this extends color, it extends race, it extends finances, it extends religion, it extends anything. And for me, it's, you know, my religion. Those of you who have been listening to me, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus Christ. This is my purpose, this is why I am on fire, this is why I am fueled to make a difference. And this is the belief that has carried me through the challenges, the difficulties, and it's the faith in my purpose as a human being to make a difference in the lives of youth that has propelled me to continue going forward and overcoming whatever stands in my way. So with that clarity, with that intention, it's the integrity that I have created between my relationship with him that allows me to say, no matter what, I know that I'm standing for good and I'm standing for right. And I've already been forgiven for what I've done by my relationship through him. So at this point, what I will say is, in order to help our youth, we must let go of our ego, and we must let go of the things that stand in our way, which are all based on fear. They are based on ignorance. They are based on arrogance. They are based on not having been exposed. They are based on patterns. They are based on beliefs and values that aren't even our own. They are based on these social paradigms that need to shift, and they are based on us listening to the advertisers and the marketers that wish to portray their belief system on the rest of the people. Now, I am not saying that most of the people aren't willing to look into that and accept, but what I am saying is those who want to make a difference, those who believe in humanity and who believe in making a difference, this is where you need to come on. So at this point, I would like to introduce you to Shanika because she has joined us, and it is with great pleasure that I welcome you, Shanika. Hello. Okay. Let's just wait. Shanika?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello, welcome on the call. I was just doing a long, long introduction.
I don't know how she does her intro, so I better wait.
No. Welcome. I've actually just I've already introduced who you are and talked about partly your program. Have also given your website. I gave the RenegadeCEOs.com website. Do you have another website as well?
My primary website is the RenegadeCEOs.com, but if you want to read more about the curriculum, it's under TeenBusinessHelp.com.
So that's
TeenBusinessHelp.com.
Help.com. Okay,
and
excellent.
It's dedicated purely to all the questions that people may have about the curriculum.
Oh, excellent. Okay, good. Well, then welcome and let's begin. If you can share with us, share your background, because I believe that it's the background presents the expert behind all of this, the expertise behind all of this. So, yeah, please go right ahead.
Okay, well, my background is in cellular and wireless, where I spent 15 years, and most of my enjoyment came from training and developing custom curriculum for frustrated customers. And how I like to describe that experience is when I first started working in cellular and wireless, I solved wireless problems, or I fixed wireless and cellular problems that people had with the equipment. But over time, as the industry began to develop and products became very complicated, I started fixing the people who had problems with wireless. So just people who were constantly on a device and was losing quality of life because of their either frustration or addiction to their technology. So because I was working in Washington, D.C., where I'm based, I had a lot of high-profile customers. And so I found the commonality, I'll say, about working with this group and with people in leadership positions as well. And it became a little bit stressful in that environment, actually, so I decided to start volunteering. And so I met a lady, and this is a whole ironic thing about you never know how one conversation or one word you may have with a person changed their whole life shift. And I was going to a meeting at the Small Business Development Center. They're owned by SBA, and they do workshops. And when I went to the building, it was on the university campus, and I got lost. So this lady in the elevator said, I can take you to the building. So in walking to the building, I talked to her maybe 3 minutes at most, and she asked me, what am I doing? And I told her I was going to take the small business workshop, and I like working with people in the business space. And she said to me, you should volunteer at this nonprofit to work with young entrepreneurs. And I said, how young? She said, teenagers. I'm like, I don't think that's my ideal group. She said, no, it's much different than you will imagine. Just go there. And she gave me the address. So I just say, okay. And then some weeks later, I went there, and she was right. I got, immediately addicted to working with youth. I was volunteering, 20, 30 hours a month. And then after 3 years, it came to the point I was volunteering 30 hours a week.
Wow.
With my youth, and I had, at the same time, my business was at peak, is starting to achieve so much growth every month. So I have to decide, do I want to go work with youth for no pay, or do I want to stay with my business where my money is a set amount every month? So it's my youth. I don't know. Something in me just said, you have to go with that, and that's what I did. So.
And that is something, you know what, that is something that I believe is so, it's so powerful, because one, you know, if you have been through it, you can value what the other person has done. For me, when I listened to you and immediately when you gave me your background, you know, immediately I knew your heart, I knew your, you know, your mission. I know that you are more than about what's here right now. You know, you're not about just, you know, what's here for me, what, you know, how do I make my life better? You know, you're way beyond out there, and there's a sacrifice that comes with that, you know, and there's a sacrifice with a dedication, but it just, you know, I'm inspired, and I'm moved, and I'm just so, you know, so I could say proud to know that there's someone, you know, of with your expertise and with your skills and with your heart and with your knowledge that can actually make a big impact, you know, so I commend you, because like they say, you know, when you read any of these stories and when you read the heroes and when you read about, you know, transformers and people who really make a difference as leaders, it's always like that, you know, there's a big sacrifice that comes along with it, and I think the bigger the sacrifice, the greater is going to be the reward, and that reward doesn't necessarily come in, you know, financially or exactly when you want it. It comes much later, you know. So I commend you for that, because it's, you know, it's amazing. So okay, so now continue. So when you started working with them, what was the organization that you worked with?
It is called the National Foundation for Teaching Entrepreneurship. And ironically, I was volunteering there last night because they were short. And they called me at the last minute because they're like, "You're our best volunteer ever." They work in the U.S. and abroad in low-income areas where they're in public schools, and their curriculum is offered as an elective, almost like if you want to take keyboarding or industrial arts or an art course, you can take an entrepreneurship course. And their mission schools have 40% or higher free and reduced lunch. So they teach kids a like mini MBA course, and the course lasts for 1 year. And at the end of the program, the kids are able to start their own business if they so choose.
What was that you mentioned? This 40% higher? I didn't quite get that.
To have that program in your school, you need to be in a community where it's 40% or higher of the students enrolled there have free or reduced lunch.
Oh, okay. So it would be that what is it called? The not section one. Is it, what is it called? I forgot the term. There's a term for that.
Oh yeah, like section eight. If you live
in a
very impoverished neighborhood. That's where their programs are. So it's not in every school. It's only in very impoverished communities.
And how are the youth that take it? Are they eager? Would you know a percentage of the youth that
are interested? They have a lot of enthusiasm, because not just entrepreneurship, but just people that support them in their dream. You know, doubt will change someone a lot, whether they decide to start a business or work with someone else. Just knowing that someone truly believes in them and has hope. Not that that's not the case in all of their homes, but you know, many of those youth are neglected or have incarcerated or substance abuse parents. And so they're with a lot of hardships. I've mentored students there who have experienced more deaths of relatives and close friends than years they have been on this earth. So, you know, if you see that, I mean, they say that they've seen violence as young as 2 or 3 years old, blood cold shooting, and they're desensitized to it now. But if you change, put them in an environment where it's more nurturing, because what I find is too many places spent too much energy on discipline and threats. They hear that all the time. If you are working with them in a nurturing environment and you remove those hierarchy roles, and like when the youth first comes to work with me, I always tell them two things. First thing, I tell them that I'm not their superior. We are two equal people. It doesn't matter our socioeconomic background or anything, our age. That doesn't make me smarter than them. And so I remove the barriers right away, and then I tell them that while they cannot write their story from the beginning, they can write a new ending starting from today. And I may be their editor, or they may be mine, and we never know, like, how our life will change from the support we give to each other. And then that way they don't feel that I will judge them, because, you know, that's another situation. You know, if you're trying to overcome some struggle in your life and you meet a person that you trust, and then for some months, you know, the relationship is really getting good, and you feel comfortable to tell them something dark about your past. Sometimes people will just be like, you betrayed me. I can't believe you told, you never told me that. My life could be in danger because of you, you know? So if you tell someone that up front, then they're afraid of you up front, and they don't want to do anything. It's already the trust issue is removed. So when my kids tell me something very personal or traumatic, I tell them that I'm very grateful and honored they feel that they could trust me to tell me something very personal to them. And if they meet a person who doesn't feel that way, then that person does not need to be in their network. Because that means
exactly.
that they don't love them or appreciate them in an unconditional sense. And so, yeah, I can work with, I don't ask my teens about their background. I work with them 7, 8 months, and then they tell me something like, my parent died in a car accident. My parent, whatever. My friend, this happened to me. Sounds very, very dark. You imagine how they could have just such happy outlook on life and be able to endure that every day and never have and had any therapy for that. So, like, that is tremendous to me. I understand immediately impact of my work with them.
It's so, you know what, it's so true, because, you know, when dealing with youth and dealing with specifically with the at-risk, the first element is that element of rapport. And like you mentioned, you know, some of these youth have seen violence, more violence or more experience, more deaths than the years they have been alive. And I can attest to that. There's an organization that I have worked here in West Palm Beach called MAMA, Mothers Against Murderers Association. And when I first met them, they had 48 mothers who had experienced a death of a child, whether directly or indirectly through gun violence. And when I saw the founder, I would say about 6 months later, that number had almost doubled. It now was like 78 mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in less, that was just between 2008 and 2009, because we're experiencing such an increase, you know, with gun violence and just everything that's happening. And it's incredible, because, you know, when you look at a child that has to endure that, you know, and like you said, sometimes their parents are end up in jail and they don't see them again. And it's like, okay, what happened? Why am I alone? And all of a sudden, why was I taken and put with someone that I didn't know, or a family member that now takes me and abuses me? You know, and then you come in as an authority figure, quote unquote, and you come in, you know, not knowing anything about their background, but wanting to, you know, because of fear, wanting to that authority essence, you know, and the kids immediately is like, wait a minute, where are you coming from? Who are you? What are you trying to tell me? You know,
I need your help. I helped myself and raised my family since I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
It better be any direction.
You know, it's, yeah, you, and it is. And it's that whole rapport of, you know, speaking with, and again, and also even the sense of respect, you know, to someone who's worked with you know, within the academic industry. Of course, respect, you know, we interpret respect as a specific word, but out in the street, respect is something different. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even
removed that too. I tell my teams they don't need to earn anybody's respect. They mm-hmm. hold value as an individual, the equal value to the person that they're meeting with. I tell them you don't need to earn anybody's respect.
That's really good. It's amazing because you just with those two words, immediately you let it go.
Yeah, because if you put them, if you're automatically saying you're superior, if you say you need to give me respect because I'm your elder, like what does that mean? Does that mean you assume that person is disrespectful because they're young, because of their face, because of their gender, because of the way they look? That's what you're saying. If you're saying you need to respect me, that means you think they're disrespectful. And that's why I focus on nothing external, only internal. If my youth start working with me, some parents are appalled because I let their youth use profanity in our dialogue. Well, I'm not letting them use profanity. I'm letting them fully express themselves and get all their anger, frustration out. Over time, I feel that my work is so good, they will understand their value, their purpose, and have self-awareness, and then they'll know they don't need to use those words to get their point across. It's just that that's all that they know in the beginning. So I'm not saying, no, don't be saying that. That's so disrespectful, blah, blah, blah. I'm saying you need to focus on yourself, your dream, what you're trying to accomplish. When they get in that environment, they have good sense. They will, like, cut it out. And over time, as they develop more self-esteem, they read more. They have more conversations with professional people. They naturally learn themselves how to cut all the language out. I remember some teens I started, they were saying a cuss word like every other word in the sentence. Now I like seldom hear them and then I always joke about that, you know. But they just taught themselves how to stop because they became more aware of what they say and how it impacts other people. If I put my teen in a leadership position and say, I booked you to speak at blank corporation. You know, they will be writing their speech and thinking of the words they're going to say because no one knows their history. They just know they're going to go to learn from this guy or this girl. We don't need to practice. You don't need to watch me do it first. You could just go do it if you want. You say your dream is to go speak in front of a company, let's go book it. And that's how we do it. And we film them, and then they can look at themselves, and they will make the changes that they feel are necessary to be presentable and taken seriously. That's all that they want, equal access to information, opportunities, and to be taken seriously. Sandra? Sandra? Okay, I guess I'm hosting the show right now until Sandra returns, wherever she may be.
Shanika?
Hi, Sandra.
Okay, excellent. We're back. So for that brief interruption, now we get to continue. So I wanted to ask you about your actual programs. Can you share what you are working on and what it is that you have?
Sure. I have a full line of services along with the custom curriculum. Some of the services that my company offers is youth and teen entrepreneur coaching, which is walking teens through the process of building an entrepreneurial mindset through starting their own business so they learn leadership skills and also skills that are necessary to work in the corporate world. So not all of our youth will become entrepreneurs, but it's important to have that skill set. We also have a Teen Speakers Bureau, in which we coach and train teens so that they can speak, whether for workshops, public advocacy, keynotes, on panels. And it's also critical to learn, obviously, if they're interviewing or in this an appointment. We have a teen publishing division, something we're very proud of. I work with young authors. They're mostly writing in the nonfiction space on how to and things that are of interest to them around their business brand, so they scale it. And we have marketing and branding support for teens. So these are all of our service offerings, mentorship. And what we just completed is a teen CEO curriculum. It's called the Teen CEO Blueprint. The tagline is designed by us, built by you, and youth is actually the derived. You is derived from youth, designed by us, mm-hmm. built by youth. And in that curriculum, it's the CEO stands for Chief Empowerment Officer because it's both for workforce training and for entrepreneurialists in one program. And the basis behind the program is a 7-step home study or private study course to identify and leveraging one's true potential. And that means that essentially people tell young people or anyone all the time, you have great potential. So they realize that they have it, but they don't understand what that specifically means. So the program is very introspective. And it allows them to use the course unassisted to determine what their skill set and their values are. And then through that, shows them how to leverage it in the corporate workspace or as an entrepreneur. And the program twist is that it's 20 audio courses with complimentary worksheets. And all of the 20 courses are were developed and moderated by teen CEOs who have been through my program. So I actually teach the courses, which are on outsourcing, writing and publishing the book, how they got started in speaking, how an idea becomes a business, the process they took, whether it was going to get a business license or opening their bank account without the help of their parent or an adult. Like, they did it all by themselves. Wow. So.
This is probably, you know what, this is probably a great course for the regular people.
Yeah.
You know, for regular people who are fearful, because I will tell you, that has been one of my issues, you know, in my adulthood years. Whenever I would look at anything that was, you know, corporate or that was very traditional, it just put me in a box, and I was so, you know, I was so against it. Like, no, I don't want to be, you know, pegged into a specific way of thinking, and mm-hmm. you know, and then be limited by, have my creativity limited because the way that they are teaching me is based on following something so tight that it's too serious, it's not fun, it's not exciting, you know. It took away the desire for me to want to really. I used to equate that with, you know, with loss of my own identity, with loss of my freedom. Mm-hmm. So listening to yours is like, oh my gosh, it's so easy. You know?
Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It removes all of the business terms, business language, and it makes it simple so that anyone without any previous understanding could actually use the program on their own and start their own business if they wanted to. Because what we found is most of the courses that are out there are actually courses for adults that they try and kind of dumb down and use it for teens. But it doesn't translate the same because teens have different terms. They use a different interest. Like they like learning about money and financial literacy, but it's something that just really irks them about those two words, financial literacy. And so they see a course, they're not really interested in. They like the whole process. They like business, but if you ask any one of my hundreds and hundreds of teens, what are their thoughts on business, they're like, I don't want to do a business plan. Like, they don't see the relevance in that early on. Now, as they mm-hmm. build their business, if they want to expand, they see the importance. But they have to come to that realization themselves. And if they have to do it up front, they get very frustrated by it. And all of the business terms are kind of like taking a standardized test. No?
Yeah.
And so we try and come from the approach that business is like play. And the people that are out there that say they work these long hours and, you know, they're hard at work all the time, we say they're doing it wrong. It shouldn't be like that. Your business is structured, is as creative as it is structured. So if in the beginning you have this mindset that you want to be large and the scale, we basically create the program so that you can grow with that scale, and it should never seem like hard work. Like, you're focused,
yeah.
You're intensely focused, but like one of our entrepreneurs, they would never work an 8-hour day because they know that they are not productive during that whole time, so they may only work 2 or 3 hours, very focused time. And then if they start to get stressed out, they go play, because when they're relaxed and creative state is when the best ideas and the solutions come. And so that's the whole thing around our program.
You got me right when you brought up the business plan. You got me right there and then. Because
it should be about 3 sheets. 1 to 3 sheets.
Can I tell you something? It has been, that we would have to have like a whole new call because that has been the issue. I'm telling you, it's almost like, you know, you got to get from one island to another, and here you got to build this bridge, and it just seems like such a harrowing process that, you know, that for me was like, let me throw that plan away and let me just start living the plan. So in living the plan,
yeah,
you know,
you like
bring
three pages, mate.
Wow, that's awesome.
Overview and target customer. You need to know some financial numbers, and the third thing you need to know is how you're going to get out, make a profitable exit strategy. So I would say your business plan should be maybe 3 to 5 pages max.
Wow, see, that's a new way. And how are the? Can you? I know you have the different youth whom you work with that have started their own businesses, and can you just share like two examples of the youth?
Two examples.
Mm-hmm. Or one example. One example would be good.
One example is so hard.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I have one girl. She's 15 years old. She's so cute. Her name is Danielle Hurd, and she's based in North Florida. And what she does is she lives on a horse farm in a very rural town. And she basically created a program where she teaches ADD, ADHD, and autistic children, all natural or healing techniques through the use of natural horsemanship. She would be exceptional because she has horses. Then if on the other extreme of that, I have a youth that is from Dominican Republic, and oftentimes the neighbors in his community, the Spanish-speaking adults would come to him and ask for his help using the computer. So he created a company called Hispanics Learn, and he came out with his own set of books and programs and material. It's all in English and Spanish. It's called the Bilingual Computer Handbook Series. And can you believe not a such thing existed before then?
Wow.
Like,
wow.
So that is kind of like someone who had some resources but never saw it in a business sense, and someone who just did something from their brain and packaged their intellectual property. Yeah.
And starting so early is what's going to give them that, you know, that added edge, that by the time they get to be 30 years old, 40 years old, you know, they're going to be at such an incredibly different place. And even now, you know, starting young like this, it's
even
just phenomenal.
I see them complete change within 6 months to 1 year. Like one of my kids just never went to school. And his brother was the same, to stay home, play video games all the time. And once he saw value in himself, he became more driven, started going to school, had open dialogue with his teachers, his counselor, his principal. Like, he just had a different view of the world now. And, yeah, within maybe 4 months after working with him, his attitude changed. And that's another thing, because I never asked him about his background, I didn't realize that he struggled in school and never went. And just after a while, he told me he used to just hate going there. But when he started working with me, he got motivated, because I was telling him his school is like a big office that his parents pay for. So he can go there and say that he wanted to design a website or a brochure, he can go to the graphics teacher and ask them to help him. Suppose he wanted to do a proposal, ask the English teacher, can she help edit his content and lay it out? But he started seeing his teachers kind of like employees.
Yeah.
Getting all his work done, and they're really excited about what he was doing. They want to support him. And then he found sort of like a balance and how he could use the school to help him achieve his business goals as well. And then, of course, he started going to the counselor, and then he started seeing other opportunities just personally, whether he was going to go to Army or, like, ROTC college, or this career path and trades. He just, like, finally paid attention. Oh, that's what a counselor does. Woo, never knew.
That's leveraging. That's definitely leveraging and using your, like you say, leverage and use your true potential. Now, how early, how young can these children be, can these youth be?
The youngest I have is 10 years old, and that's exceptional, because most of the kids I work with are around 13 to 19. Well, my target group is 13 to 19. The most of the kids in my program are 14 to 16. I find they're like really, really into it. Like,
yeah. You're providing resources, and you're providing a bridge to let them see what they have in front. Now, how is it also financed? Do the children pay for it? Do the parents pay for it? Or is it how are you able to get them?
I have a business model that I've figured out that doesn't require me necessarily to charge my youth. So the youth I work with now, I don't charge. Most of them, I have no idea who their parents are, what they do. Like, their parents may not have even known that the youth contacted me on their own. And that's another thing, by not charging them, it allows us to have a different dynamic to the relationship, because it's a trust. And some, depending on what they're doing and how passionate, intensely focused they're, I have provided some microfunding, if you will, to help them produce some of the projects that they're working on and get it out there, because basically I'm not fulfilled unless they're fulfilled, and my success can't happen unless their success happened first. And a lot of people see it reverse, like, let me do it first and show you how. No, that does not work in this case. I have to just say again, I feel so confident in my program and what I offer, and that I have such an understanding of this market that I will put my money where my mouth is, a little bit of money I have, like if I get to the next level. But like I have a virtual outsource team. I have a publicist, and they support my kids as well. And I make my money currently through, because I'm in D.C., I have consulting contracts with the government, and I can create curriculum for them. So this provides, money so that I can obviously pay mortgage and my other personal needs. And then I take a little bit out and ration it to like a fund that I can use for my kids. And I sell books and I do workshops. So it's fine. It works. Like, been doing it for a year. I'm doing it without worry. Like, I don't know how I'm going to make the bills next month. Like, I don't want people to think I'm like that strapped, but no. My kids are doing exceptionally well. I have kids that do their combined household revenues, which means they make more money than their mother and father combined. My top producing kids are doing in the mid four figures a month revenue. And, you know, so they're doing fine. That's my concern. When they come in, that they can sustain themselves, and that they're not blowing all their money on, shoes made in China.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah, they're investing it and doing different things.
Because all of a sudden, I have kids that are 16 years old, invest in mutual funds and stocks. So they have good sense, like I said. When you show them their value and their worth, and that we have this saying that we say is being poor is not by chance, it's by choice.
That's a good one.
Yeah, so if I gave them example, if they are an impoverished area, how did that happen? It happened like you got a check you spent it on silly stuff. Basically, that's how it happened. And all the money you got, you didn't keep any for yourself. You just bought some essentials, but you bought other silly stuff that's not really necessary. And you can make the list of what the silly stuff is. Now, when you get your check, how are you gonna use your check? You're gonna recycle it. So I have this like a lot of custom stuff that I make. So we have a picture of a dollar and we cut it up. So the first thing you should know is when you make a dollar, you don't really make a dollar. 50% has to go back to your business, and then 10% like needs to go to, or 30% needs to go to your taxes. 10% goes to savings, and 10% goes to future growth of your company or unforeseen costs. And that way, if you have some crazy idea you want to try one day, you don't have to risk what you have. You already have the money set aside to do that.
Yeah, many times, that's another thing.
Mm-hmm. So whenever you're making a dollar, you're not really making a dollar. And when they get that, then they understand whatever they thought they were going to project to make. They really have to make like three times that.
You know what, that's a really great analogy. Just yesterday, I actually went to a fast food place, and I had my son with me, my eight-year-old son. And, you know, and I took the receipt and I said, okay, look, what we just bought cost this amount. It costs almost $8. And we're going to ask the person working how much they make an hour. And my son had said, oh, that's so cheap. Of course, because he's not paying for it. He said, oh, that's so cheap. And then I said, okay, let's ask. And I go, because she has to work for one whole hour just to afford what we just bought. And I go, and imagine if you have to pay $250 a month for your car. And on top of that, you have to pay for other things. How can you afford it when you're working and you're getting $8 an hour? How many hours do you need to work for that?
Mm-hmm.
I go, so that's why you need to start looking at what do you need to do, and how do you want to live a life, and what can you do to make sure that you have the resources and the skills to enable you to, you know, to generate more money and et cetera. So that was a lesson for an 8-year-old right there and then.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great. Well, Shanika, it's really very interesting, and it's very I'm empowered because I know that you work with youth in such a, you know, specialized way that it gets to where it needs to get to. You know, so I'm very happy that we have connected, and I definitely look forward to being able to bring your, you know, your program and cross reference and really get to the youth, because now is the time. So
yes,
so
and then you and I can live in peace.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
On the right path.
Knowing our name will be called. So definitely. Well, Shanika, it's been a pleasure. And once again, I want to give us your website again?
Sure. My website is renegadeceos.com. Or if you want to learn about my Teen CEO blueprint, you can visit teenbusinesshelp.com.
Okay, excellent, Shanika. Well, this will be available and a recording, and I look forward once again to being with you in the future and just, you know, taking this on the road. So have an awesome day, and then we will speak soon.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sandra.
You're very welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a presentation of Power to Be You and Rise to Win for Our Youth. And like you heard, Shanika, it is about learning about the skills that are there and finding those individuals and the leaders who will help you to get there. So until next time, this is Sandra Bueno signing out.